previously on Corporate Homie.
Taking care of yourself. Self-care.
You can't pour from an empty cup.
Say no to others and yes to you.
Hustle hard, homies, but you need some time for yourself. On today's episode of Corporate Homie, professional breakups.
Everybody's not a 2 a.m. friend.
I don't want to go to lunch with you anymore because you have a bad reputation up here.
It's not going to be a one-time deal. And then, woo, well, that was easy.
You know me, I'm a loner.
Hey, homies.
Welcome back to the Corporate Homie Podcast.
Woot, woot.
Well, that was really dry. I said a woot, woot.
You can't woot.
I can't woot. I can woot.
That's not your ministry.
I can woot. No, I can woot. So we are excited to be back with another episode. This one is about professional breakups. This was a great topic that came directly from the homies. We love it when we get to hear from the homies. This was actually in, I think, the DM on Instagram. And the homie was basically asking about having a friend at work, becoming very good friends at work, then realizing that their friend has a bad or toxic reputation within the organization, and wanted some tips about how to put some distance between, or break up with them and put some distance between them. And we thought that we would just address this topic not only in the context of friends at work, but when you need to put break up with anyone at work for, or professionally, for any reason in the organization.
And it may not be a full breakup. It may just be creating significant distance so that you guys are no longer attached. So essentially, what you're trying to do is disassociate yourself from whomever that relationship is that you feel like it's going to hurt you long term in your career within the organization.
Right, disassociate. Nothing wrong with that. And sometimes that is definitely necessary.
Well, I guess I would start by, you know, reminding them, you know, this is a difficult topic. It is not. Conflict is always challenging. It doesn't matter if it's personal or professional conflict. And so it can be hard. It can be awkward. Most importantly, it can be unpleasant. And so that's why in my Biggie voice, it requires style
and grace,
yeah, in order to do this. To all the ladies in the place with style and grace. Right, because this is not easy stuff to do. And so my very first tip is you need to take a look at that relationship. What are the benefits of that relationship? And are they even, is that relationship worth severing? And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I had a peer that we were very close at one point, and then essentially I heard that this person was saying some things professionally, not personally, behind my back. And then I decided that I didn't want to, as the young people say, a kiki and a ha-ha and chop it up, because I found out this person basically was talking smack.
Was duplicitous, or we say growing
right.
up,
two-faced in my fifth grade voice, right? And but for a number of reasons, mainly being that we were one of only a handful of people of color at the entire bank that did what we did, I did not feel like that I could just completely sever that relationship. So what I did is I changed that relationship. And so we just became friendly work friends.
Instead of homies. Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Demetra. It doesn't have to be a complete breakup, right? It could be a downgrade. I like that. Yeah, that's a really good. So that goes really nicely into my first, because I like what you're saying about you need to take stock of what you want to do. And I had, as my first tip, creating psychological distance. So it's sort of this, in line with what you're saying, in that you in your mind need to start creating the boundaries and figure out what the parameters of what that looks like long before you start trying to implement. I think what happens sometimes in these types of situations is we get so emotional that we're ready to act without, like you said, taking stock of what it is. But all breakups, all downgrades and things are just a boundary. And before you can set a boundary, you got to figure out what it looks like. So I think that was right in line with kind of my first point as well.
Right. I guess, you know, for a lot of folks, a lot of the homies, this might be something new, right? Because they may have never had to create a boundary before. Because a lot of people don't do that. What they do is they're either all in or they just completely break up. I mean, I'll use myself as an example. I've basically never broken up with a hairdresser. I just stopped going, right? It's not
right.
like I call the hairdresser and say, hey, I don't like the way that you're always running behind on your book or what have you. So I do like the idea of like creating this psychological, because you have to learn how to do that in your mind, because for many folks, they don't ever create boundaries.
You know,
just
that's
all
so,
in or all, they're out.
You know, that's so funny you say that, because studies show that women and minorities especially suffer from this at work, because they consider, you know, when they're pitching business or going after an opportunity, that they need to be friends. And, you know, often even using that word friend sometimes is an overstatement of what a relationship is at
Absolutely.
Work. And they assume that friend means that I need to be able to call you from jail. I need to be able to call you if my car breaks down.
Everybody's not a 2 a.m. friend.
Right. And sometimes what you have is just a really nice associate that you work with. But I think that's a really, really good point. So that takes me into my second point, or I guess we're now our third point. Create social distance. Like, start the narrative. We talk about this with a lot of other things. Many things at work are about what you are saying about yourself and a narrative that is around it. And so once
That's right.
you decide that you need to be disassociated from Tom and you and Tom have been boys, then you got to start thinking about, okay, and I think the best way to do it is don't make it about Tom, make it about yourself and how you're going to create your narrative. So it might be that now, I know I remember doing this one time and I just made it about the work as opposed to making it about not wanting to hang out with, you know, Jason anymore. I just said, hey, I'm really, you know, trying to be about this. I need to be more about debtor representations. I need to spend more time with the group that does debtor work.
Right. I think anytime you make it about the work and not about the people, it's easier, whether that is expanding your skill set or what have you. I actually changed an entire job by doing this, right? Like, I basically went in and I talked to my boss at the time and I'm like, look, you know, I want to go. I've been, you know, talking with someone else in a different region and they want me to take this job. And here's why I want to take this job. But it was really about separating myself from someone else. But it was also, I used it about getting new skill sets. You know, at the time I was basically working for somebody that, you know, they were essentially being a player coach and keeping all the good plays for themselves and giving us all the crappy plays.
Right.
And so instead of saying that, I said, you know, I would like to work on more complex things. You know, in the role that I'm in right now, I only get to work on owner-occupied stuff. I've got that down. I've mastered that. I'd love to work on more sophisticated credits. I'd like to see larger deals. I don't see that happening where I am right now. But instead of, again, making it about the other person, like, he keeps everything for himself, right? It became,
this is what, this I,
what
like,
I need. Yeah, so.
Right.
So I love that about when you make it about the work. My next tip is that this is something that has to be done ongoing, right? Especially because you're not going to not have coffee or not go to lunch or say that you're going to, you know, start spending time over here one time and that person is going to leave you alone. Because remember, there's been a pattern and a culture that we spend time together. So you're going to have to probably do this continuously. No, girl, remember I told you I'm trying to lose weight, so I'm not taking the coffee run. Or, oh, no, I'm sitting at my desk, or I'm on a budget. You're going to have to, I think it's just nice for the homies to know.
Repetition. It's going to be repetition. Right.
It's not going to be a one-time deal, and then, woo, well, that was easy. It's not going to be that way.
That makes sense, because like you're saying, you have a reputation of hanging out with them. That was created over time, and it's going to take the reputation of sort of not being seen with them and not hanging out with them as well to unbrand yourself or to unlock your brands or unattach your brands. So I hadn't thought of that. That's a really good point. And actually is really complimentary to what I was going to say, which is create physical distance. So you have to actually stop being seen with them. You right. actually have to stop going places with them. So when you decide that you want to break up, then like you said, if you were going to lunch every day, you need to stop going to lunch every day. And so if you're not, I think people kind of misunderstand this about us. Like, we have these big personalities, but I don't like confrontation either. I don't want to sit down and tell somebody, I don't want to go to lunch with you anymore because you have a bad reputation up here.
Right.
I'm not trying to do that.
And how is that going somewhere positive?
Right. So maybe that's when you're like, oh, you know, I'm on this keto. I'm not actually going to lunch. I'm doing this vegan. I'm bringing my lunch. And you, like you said, going back to using kind of combining the tips, that's when you need to do that for 2 whole weeks. You need time, reputation. Oh, girl, I know we used to do a midday coffee. Your girl trying to save money. She's not doing that. She's, you know, I'm not doing that right now. I'm going to, you know, so that you have the actual way to create space between you and the person.
Right.
Or if you used to work on all of Tom's deals, get off the meeting. Stop sitting by Tom in the meeting. Don't be, you know what I mean? Like, you get there early so you don't have to sit by Tom. Whatever you need to do.
And that's basically exactly what I had to do in the relationship that I was mentioning earlier, because we did have a monthly, you know, senior leadership team meeting, and I did exactly what you were talking about. I don't think I thought about it in that granular way, but I changed even where I was sitting in the meeting, right? Just so that for that 8-hour, you know, meeting once a month, people weren't seeing us sitting together. Again,
right,
just
because
trying to
people
change
get,
that narrative.
Because, yeah, just right. And like you said, just get used to, you know, seeing Bimi. Sure, you don't ever know where she's going to sit.
And apparently,
you know me, I'm a loner.
Yeah, and apparently, like, this is like even what, I just watched that, I can't think of the name of it, but it was a Will Smith movie where they were basically trying to con this man and they wanted him to bet on something. And they had, like, been subliminally showing him the number 63 all day. So then when it was time for him to choose a number, he chose the number 63. This is just like that, right? People are going to, you know, start to not see you guys together, start to not see you hanging out. And so they will begin to get the message that y'all are not tight anymore. Without you ever
right.
having to say, we're not tight anymore. My next tip is, you know, and it's kind of a hodgepodge of everything that we're talking about, that you've got to do this in a graceful way, not to burn bridges, because I have seen so many times where somebody gets a new job and all of a sudden that person that you wanted to disassociate with is now your boss. You know,
that is a great time where you have to have some type of professional breakup or downgrade, because the homie is now your boss.
Yeah, right. And so, or I've seen it where you guys used to be coworkers, y'all were peers. You did the whole creating distance, like, you know, physically, socially. They get a new job. Now they're the boss. So if you didn't do that right, you got to go find a new job. Because that person doesn't like you. You know, so...
Mm-hmm. You misunderstood and played your cards wrong, and that happens too.
And in my world, I sometimes get to give people really good news, like, congratulations, we got you approved for the loan at the rate that you want. And sometimes I have to give people bad news that says, we're not going to be able to do this loan. I make a point not to use the words, like, decline. Wrong. I say things like, this is more risk than the bank is willing to take. I know this isn't what you want to hear. And these conversations.
Or my favorite that I learned from you. We don't have an appetite.
We don't have an appetite for that. Right. We don't have an appetite for that.
I use that one all the time.
And so I say all that to say how you do this, the nuance of it, will you, because you cannot burn bridges.
I think that's a great point. And it's a reminder that, you know, the politics in your organization can change. You know, who's up today can be down tomorrow. Who's down today can be up tomorrow. So, yes, be very mindful about how you do that. My next one was create new relationships, but we sort of talked about that. Like, instead of trying to concentrate on severing a relationship, focus on, you know, why you might want to have a relationship with someone else. And maybe it's no relationships for a while, like we said.
And then you're like,
oh, I'm having a, I'm not relationship, but I'm going to focus my efforts on, you know, like you said, the debt team, or I want to, you know, I'm wanting to learn modeling. I'm going to go to lunch with the people who do modeling. Or it could be even something as simple. We had the homie one time that was like, I want to figure out how to transfer to a international
office. Right, right.
And so I'm going to hang out with Tina because I heard she was in
London,
New York, and then went to London.
Right.
And I want to figure out how she did that. So it could be just, you know, focusing on that as opposed to ending this relationship. And it doesn't have to be an ending.
Yeah, no, I love that of essentially having a cooling off period where you change the narrative and then start working on creating a new relationship or cultivating an additional relationship that's going to help you with where you're trying to either enhance your brand or advance your brand. So I think that that's a very good way of taking a look at it. My next tip is anticipate that you might get pushback or objections. So I thought I had a relationship where I thought that I had artfully, gracefully, you know, separated myself and created some nice distance. And then I got a phone call one day that was like, did I do something to you? Because it seems like I can't pin you down. You know?
And it was. In your face. What's up,
and
girl?
And if you know me, I was mortified, right? I was absolutely mortified. At that point, the person asked me a direct question. I felt like they deserved a direct answer. And, you know, and so my focus, I still made it about myself. What my answer was is, I have made a decision to do something different. I'm not hanging out as much. I'm not being as social as much. And that was the bulk of our friendship. And so, yes, I have taken a step back because I'm trying to work on being a better me.
Again, it's not you.
You a party girl.
You know, people around here, they don't take you serious, and I need to be taken serious, and so I have to just get my brand away from yours. You don't want to say something like that to someone.
Your brand is trash.
Your brand is trash, right? So my last tip, which is sort of right with that, keep emotions out of it. As much as you can, and this is, you know, probably a tip that we can end every episode on, but when you're making work decisions, make work decisions. Make them from a smart, unemotional place. When you're going to have the conversations, think about how much you can do that. And most of it is about, can you give your feedback with your career goals in mind? Can you make the decision with your career goals in mind and not so much how you feel?
Mm-hmm. I love that about keeping the emotion out of it. And that reminds me of, it was like, I don't know, the late 90s, and Bill Clinton had just left office, you know, finished his second term. And he was doing an interview with Oprah, and she asked him, like, you know, why doesn't the president of the United States drive? Why does somebody pick out his clothes, right? Like, why is that necessary? And he said, the reason why is because, you know, the president has major decisions that he has to do each day. And so he can't be spending his brain power on, like, focusing on driving when we need him to worry about, like, which, you know, terminal disease gets this research money or what have you. And I bring all that up to tie it into what we're talking about, because he said, when I had very tough decisions to make as president, I didn't think of him as Bill Clinton was making that decision. I thought of it as the president of the United States is making that decision. And I think when we're,
God,
what we're,
I like that.
So what we're talking about now is like, it's not that Bemetra doesn't like Jenny. Is that the market president at Mutual of Omaha Bank is trying to become the regional president at Mutual of Omaha Bank. And in order to do that, I have to make these changes. Right? So it's not about
it's about my... Right, because I like you.
Not about that. But I thought that that was a very good way of looking at it. Like, the partner at Thompson & Knight needs to talk to their assistant about this. Not Demetra needs to talk to Mary, right. And when you do that, it will change. You will automatically take the emotion out of things.
I love that. That is a great way to look at things, and like you said, it really keeps you on that professional tip. So, thank you again for submitting the topic. This was a good one for us. Made us think through our own situations,
experiences. Yeah.
And experiences. If you have a topic that you want covered, you can, slide in the DMs. You can email us at questions@corporatehomie.com, and we're always happy to cover things on the podcast that you're interested in.
Yes, and as always, you can find us on all social mediums. That's Corporate Homie, HOMIE, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And we look forward to hearing from you, and we always appreciate the feedback. If you are enjoying the podcast, please drop us a 5-star review, because as you know, that is the currency of podcasts.
Yes. Yeah. Give us a good rating. And until next time.
Hustle hard, homies.
All of you, get you a twin. Get you another homie.